Blog
Hello,
Talk Radio.
this is O5O on the radio. This is Monday, December 28th, 2015. I'd like to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the talent and the opportunity to do this show. We are jam-packed here today. We have hoops that was during the holiday period. Got to talk about the NFL, and oh my goodness, can you believe we have a division winner here? Ooh, we are jam-packed here, but got to start off with the holiday hoops. Can anybody tell me what is going on with the Boston Celtics? Not in a bad way, but in a good one. They have won four in a row as they beat the New York Knicks 100-91 yesterday. Isaiah Thomas, brilliant game, 21 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists. This gentleman, he is playing at an all-star level. Yeah, that little short guy that was the last pick in the draft from the University of Washington, 20.7 points a game, almost 7 assists a game, 6.9. He is at an all-star level at the guards, but really I want to talk about the Celtics. I don't know if people realize how much trade value they have on that team. To me, the time is going to be soon where they can go get a big-time superstar. They have a ton of draft picks. They have two for next year, being the Celtics, two first-rounders next year, both of them pretty high. And they have a lot of players on that bench who are not playing very much. Terry Rozier, remember he was the first-round pick they got this year. They have James Young from Kentucky last year. They have Hunter, who was their second first-round pick this year. They have Tyler Zeller, who shares minutes with Kelly Olynyk. They got a ton. They have height. They have youth. They have trade values. They have they have first-round draft picks. They pretty much have an early first-round pick for the next 3 years because of that trade with the Brooklyn Nets that we talked about. The Celtics should be really good, really fast. And remember, they just got rid of their people. Pierce and KG, that wasn't that long ago, people. That was 2013. Right now, they are solid. It is 2015. They went to a division they went to the playoffs last year. This year, they could go to the playoffs again, but if they add that final piece, they will be really good, one of the beasts in the East. If I'm the Celtics, I'm looking at Carmelo Anthony. I'm just saying. I understand he wants to be in New York, but my goodness. Anyway, got to talk about LeBron. LeBron, on Christmas Day, was that a disappointment? Was I the only one who was disappointed with LeBron James on Christmas Day? He's going up again now. I understand. LeBron James is not a Kobe Bryant or Michael Jordan, a killer, assassin type guy, and I get that. I have no problem understanding that. My question is, how is it that you're going toe-to-toe versus Steph Curry, a guy who has gotten all the things you used to have? Yeah, he's the current reigning MVP. He is the most adored player in the league right now. He is the NBA champion. He has all of these things. And the fact is, LeBron did not come out there and, as they say, attack mode. Is that fair saying? He had a rather pedestrian game, but he was not the best player in the game. Not by a long shot. When Draymond Green goes out there with 22 points, 15 rebounds, and 7 assists, doing the thing, putting up numbers you would think LeBron would be putting up. And now you come up, and the next night you put up a stinker in Portland, and so you go 0-2, and you never know how this is going to work out with Cleveland. Not saying that they have a problem in the East, but we know they don't have a problem in the East. They've not had a problem in the East, whether they've had home court or not. Yet, no, there's no to me, there's no urgency with Cleveland right now. And I understand Kyrie Irving just got back on Christmas Day. Kevin Love is starting to get it going. He's starting to get those rebounds going. I understand. They're going to be a different team come March than they are now. But what I am saying, I'm not talking about the team. I'm talking about LeBron James in particular. I mean, he was 10 of 26. I mean, this is a guy that shot 56% a couple of years ago. Why is he going 10 of 26 and missing easy shots? Not even hard shots. 4 of 9 from the free throw line as well. Easy stuff. Got to wonder when it's going to kick in, because right now, is LeBron even the runner-up MVP right now? I mean, he's not having an all-season, but he's nowhere near Stephen Curry in terms of MVP. He's running away. He's lapping the field right now. Now, just a thought. Wanted to talk about Christmas Kobe real quick. Can you believe he has played in 16 Christmas days? He has played on 16 of them. But the most astonishing thing is that he's lost 10 of the 16 teams. All the success the Lakers have had throughout the years, and Kobe Bryant is 6-10 on Christmas Day. You know, he has so many records on Christmas Day, most games. He has the most points, most threes. Matter of fact, he got the most threes on Christmas night against the Clippers. And the one thing that is really interesting is if you look at his first game, of course, everybody assumes, oh, yeah, I remember that team. Yeah, Shaquille O'Neal when he first got the Lakers, being the dominant player. But the Byron Scott, if you look on Christmas Day, 96 against Phoenix. Byron Scott had a big game that game. 14 points, hit 3 threes. How about that? That going on. Brian, you know, he's going on his victory tour. But Christmas Day, he has been one of astonishing 16 Christmas Day games. I don't know if that's going to be beaten in a long time. LeBron got a while before he can get to that. That he still has 5 years before he gets to 16 years in the league. Forget 16 Christmas Day games. Had a good college game on Saturday. Actually, it was a great one, and I know a lot of people didn't see it because it was the holiday period. There was so much going on. Louisville at Kentucky, oh, it was a really good one. 75-76. The Wildcats pulled it out. Tyler Ulis had 21 points, 8 assists. He was brilliant all day. University of Kentucky, they won it by the three-point line. That's the only way you can say it. 11 of 23 from behind the arc. That's almost 50%. People, you know the deal. You shoot that well, you're going to have a severe advantage. Damian Lee, man, he was doing it. The transfer from Drexel going to Louisville, he had 27 points. I want to talk about the fact that everybody at the beginning of the season was like, well, you have Ben Simmons, but the second best dude is going to be Sky LaBissier, the big man at Kentucky. Well, right now, Sky LaBissier is not even starting. I mean, he hasn't even had a big game yet. On Saturday, he was 2 points and three rebounds. And he's coming off the bench. He's no longer even starting. These preseason prognostications of the players, you know, a person like Ben Simmons, not hard to figure out. But a Sky LaBissier was not a guarantee. He did have the size. He does have the physical prowess. But he doesn't have the game yet. I think people need to understand that. Even if he does come out, I believe he'll still be top five by somebody. You know, you got people like the Sixers, you know, who knows where they're going to draft. Well, they can't get a big man this year. But you got teams who, you know, they're going to draft a big man regardless. Got to talk about the NFL. What a crazy week it was this week. I mean, it was crazy. Absolutely bonkers. Bonkers all week long. You had teams shuffling playoff position. You have teams losing playoff position. You had uninterested teams. You had interested teams. It was a crazy week. There's no doubt what we're going to start. Gotta start on Saturday night. Hey, the nation's capital. It is on fire right now as the skins. I'm still trying to pinch myself. They won the NFC East, beating the Eagles 38-24. Kirk Cousins, he was unbelievable. 31-46, 365 yards, 4 touchdowns. It was his third straight game of at least having an 80 QBR. He's been unbelievable doing his thing. That's a record for the Skins. They had they've had quarterbacks with 2 straight games of 80 QBR, but not 3. His third game with 4 touchdowns and no interceptions. Since no Redskin quarterback in history has had more than 1 throughout their career. He's had 3 this year. And then you got to talk about Jordan Reed. I mean, I'm not trying to get on a soapbox. How in the world is Jordan Reed not on the Pro Bowl team? I mean, that's like the most ridiculous thing you've ever heard of. He has 83 catches. He almost has 1,000 yards. Saturday night. I kind of get hard when it's during a holiday period. Saturday night, he was guardable. 9 catches, 129 yards, 2 touchdowns. Ladies and gentlemen, he had 5 catches, 69 yards, and 2 touchdowns in the first quarter. He was unbelievable. You couldn't guard him out there. Totally changed the game. Next thing you know, Philly had to start worrying about Reed. And next thing you know, they found another open guy. How about Pierre Thomas? Pierre Thomas, where was he at the beginning of this year? Actually, he did play for the 49ers for a little while. But he comes up. They pick him up off the scrap heap, and he does what he does best. People forget. He was a very good receiver for the Saints. First 1 year, I think he caught 70-some passes. Well, he comes up for the Skins, catches 7 passes, 67 yards for the Skins. And all of a sudden, it opened up everything because they did not have Mac Jones, who's usually that pass receiver out the backfield. They even gave him the ball. He had 4 rushes, 27 yards. He was brilliant doing both of those things. Then you had Chris Thompson coming out the backfield as well. You had a lot of weapons that Kirk Cousins had at his disposal on Saturday, and he definitely used them. Really, got to talk about the Eagles, though. Eagles come up. It was unbelievable. You would think that it was a normal game for them. They came up. They dropped 7 passes in the game. They now lead the league with 30 drops. And, hey, people can talk about Sam Bradford, this and that, all they want to. 30 drops in one season. That's almost 2 drops a game. But that is unbelievable for a team that seemingly had enough weapons. Well, we're not going to get on Chip Kelly right now. We'll leave it alone. Meanwhile, got to go to Oakland. Yeah, that was all the way on Thursday night. It might be their last game in Oakland, and the Raiders, they came out and pulled it out over the San Diego Chargers, who also may be moving. They beat the Chargers 23-20 in overtime. Derek Carr, 204 yards. He had a touchdown and a pick. Latavius Murray. Is anybody following Latavius Murray's year this year? We'll get back to that in just a second. He had 19 carries, 79 yards, and it was Charles' last home game for one of the absolute brilliant players that's been out there. Does anybody realize Charles Woodson has played in 90% of the game? And you do understand right now he is 38 years old. He didn't miss anything. He played in 90% of the snaps this season. 90% of the snaps at 38 years old for the Raiders. He's still getting it. Gotta give him kudos on that. Gotta give kudos to Derek Carr. I remember being in Houston. And Houston comes up. They say they don't want Derek Carr because of his brother David Carr. Well, it didn't make any sense to me. The fact is, Derek Carr, he has 52 touchdowns. That's tied for tied for second for the most touchdowns in the first 2 seasons with Peyton Manning and Russell Wilson. And if he gets a touchdown next week, he'll pass that. Now, he's not going to catch Dan Marino, who, of course, had 68 in his first two seasons. But the fact is, what is going on here with Derek Carr? The Raiders are really building big. What about Latavius Murray? I'm going to say it again, Latavius Murray. Murray, how about this? Darren McFadden, he almost has 1,000 yards, and he doesn't have as many yards as Latavius Murray this year. Latavius Murray, fourth in the NFL with 1,035 yards. So the Raiders didn't have an offensive line. Well, they do now. Now you have Carr, you have Murray, you have Amari Cooper will be one of the offensive player, rookie of the year candidates. All right, people, I told you, remember, I didn't say it was the triplets, but I said it's the Raider version of it. They're really happy in Oakland for the future. Hey, they're 7-8. Nobody's saying anything about it. They're 7-8 in Oakland. Not bad. Meanwhile, in Carolina, the Panthers, they're no longer unbeaten. Man, they were ugly yesterday. When Cam Newton was awful, he was 17 of 30, 142 yards. There was nothing there. Didn't hit anything downfield. Didn't he do anything? He was running way too much. Much not fault on his part, but you're like, wait a minute, they're 14-0, and he's over here running the football. Well, they didn't have any urgency. If they would have won yesterday, they would have clinched home field for the whole NFC. They do not have that. They do not have that now. And now you got to wonder, is Newton's MVP gone simply because they have a loss? We'll get to that later as well. And got to talk about Falcons, Julio Jones, who yesterday, 9 catches, 178 yards and a touchdown. Now, do you understand? He's 7 receptions this year. That's number 3 of all time in a season. And he still has a game left. Don't let him get hot. I mean, my goodness, I don't think he can catch the record, but if they just keep throwing to him, who knows? Those 148 by Marvin Harrison, the record. And, also, the funny thing is, real hidden, we'll talk about them in just a little while. Antonio Brown, 123 receptions. That's tied for 4th of all time. We'll get to the Steelers in a little bit because, boy, I almost got a rail on them. Man, meanwhile, the Jets, they come up and they beat the Patriots 26-20 in overtime. Somebody better give Ryan Fitzpatrick some love. 26-41, 296 yards, 3 touchdowns. Now, he has QBR for the season. That is the Jets' number 1 QBR for the decade. On fire. He continues to hit Brandon Marshall. 8 catches, 115 yards, 2 touchdowns. Downs Brandon Marshall, first player in the history of the league to have 100 catches 6 times. Unbelievable. That dude, where the transformation he has had. And how about this? Marshall and Decker both caught Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker both caught a touchdown pass in the same game for the 8th time this year. Here, that is number 1 now in NFL history. It's never been done before. For Brady, was 22 of 31, 231 yards. He had a touchdown and an interception. He'd bring him down for the last drive. Unbelievable. Was it 4th and 19, and he hit Gronkowski for 26-yard completion. But the fact is, this 3rd loss, does that mean he's dipping down? How does the MVP race go? Because there was nobody near Brady in his first 9 or 10 games. Then you had Newton with the unbelievable unbeaten streak. How about a guy that I'll talk about a little bit later? I'm going to talk about him a little bit later, but there's another guy who deserves some credit as well. Meanwhile, I got to talk about this. The Ravens, they come up and they upset the Steelers. Are you kidding me? Normally, this wouldn't be a big deal, but the Ravens, they've been awful this year.
I mean, they've been terrible. They come up and they upset the Steelers 20-17. The Steelers, they're now on the outside looking in for the playoffs. What is wrong with this team? They are loaded offensively, but they didn't get it done offensively on this day. Roethlisberger was off 24-34 for 215 yards through two interceptions. And you have the Ravens. They didn't start Joe Flacco. They didn't have Matt Schaub. So who are they going to throw out there? They put out Ryan Mallett. There you go. And next thing you know, Ryan Mallett, 28-41, 274 yards. He had a touchdown. He went to Kamar Aiken. He was 8-for-8 in targets with him, hitting him on several occasions. And the Ravens are one step ahead of the Steelers. The Steelers pretty much a must-win. Now they need help in order to get in the playoffs. The Jets now have the number 6 spot. What is going on with the Steelers? I do not understand. Boy, I know they're going to be hot in Pittsburgh right now. Meanwhile, the Chiefs, I mean, the story just keeps on going with them. They get by the Browns 17-13. Alex Smith, he only threw 425 yards. He had two touchdowns. He did throw an interception, incredibly. But how about his QBR in the last 9 games of 83.1? One, he has been sensational. His 2 touchdown passes were to Jeremy Maclin. Ugh, what a godsend he has been for the Chiefs. And what about Johnny Manziel? Everybody's talking about how bad he was throwing the football. 13-32, 436 yards and a touchdown. What, 11 rushes, 108 yards? Yards, that's the second most rushing yards by QB this year. That was Mariota. Remember a couple of weeks ago, he had 112 rushing yards. And then, how about this? The second best by the Browns this season, Crowell, had a 145-yard day. But you look at how bad the running game has been for the Browns, and you try to understand Isaiah Crowell and Duke Johnson, they can run the football. What is the deal? You have two really good tackles in Thomas and Schwartz. How in the world are the Browns not able to run the football is beyond me. But the Chiefs, they're the story. 1-5 to start the season. They are now 10-5. They have been rolling. And matter of fact, they have been rolling so much that Denver tonight against the Bengals, they got to play. Because the fact is, they lose. They be tied with the Chiefs. Can you believe that? That nobody would have thought that earlier in the season. It would be tied with the Chiefs at 10-5. I believe the Chiefs have the tiebreaker, if I'm not mistaken. Meanwhile, over there in Tennessee, boy, they got a whipping yesterday by the Texans. The Texans beat them down 34-6. Brandon Weeden, he's doing it again. 15-24, 200 yards. He threw 2 touchdowns. He had a total QBR this game of 86.6, the best start of his career, and he hit that man again. DeAndre Hopkins, 7 touchdowns, 117 yards. He scored another touchdown. How about this? This DeAndre Hopkins, he became the 5th player in the last 25 years quarterback. He just keeps on getting a new one every other week. Not his fault they keep on getting her hurt or injured, and he keeps on rolling. When the Titans, and they're just in trouble. Mettenberger, every time he comes out there, it's not a good thing for the Titans. Oh, by the way, Wheaton ran a touchdown in. That's why his quarter QBR is so big in this one. Meanwhile, how about the Colts? Boy, they just barely eked one by, 18-12 over the Dolphins. The Dolphins were in the red zone. Could not punch it in, and the Colts stay alive to see another day. Hasselbeck, he only threw for 99 yards, but how about the resurgence of one Frank Gore, 15 carries, 85 yards, 2 touchdowns. He carried them them in the game, and it was old Frank Gore. He had 56 yards after contact. He was really getting it done. Then Ryan Tannehill had a bunch of good numbers, 26 or 38, 329 yards, but he did throw a touchdown down. And just for, you know, a side swipe, all the touchdowns in this game were made by dudes of the U, as Lamar Miller scored a touchdown by the Dolphins. If we have time, we'll talk about them at the end of the show. So the Colts, they stay alive, just barely, though. So what about the Seahawks? Are you kidding me? They lose to the Rams, 23-17. Man, look at here. What is going on with Case Keenum? Somebody better explain to me why this dude doesn't get a starting chance somewhere. Last year with the Texans, he came in off the scrap heap. He won two in a row. There he goes. So he goes to the Rams. He's the backup quarterback. Nick Foles struggled all year. Here comes Keenum. Here comes W. Two in a row again. And as Keenum didn't have a great day. 133 yards passing, 14 of 23. And he threw a touchdown. Todd Gurley, 19 carries, 85 yards and a touchdown. Russell Wilson didn't dominate like he had normally had the past couple of weeks, with 289 yards, two touchdowns and an interception. Both touchdowns going to Doug Baldwin. Man, he's having an unbelievable season. Again, no Pro Bowl prospect for Doug Baldwin. But now the Seahawks. Their way, they'll drop all the way to six. Who knows? I seriously doubt it because of one whooping that was on Sunday evening at the same time. What in the world happened to the Green Bay Packers? Man, Arizona, they definitely look like the best team in the league right now. Maybe it's because they're putting their pedal to the metal. They beat down the Packers 38-8. Aaron Rodgers with the worst game of his career. He had a 9.2 QBR. He was 15 of 28 for 151 yards. He had a touchdown and a pick. It was embarrassing. But how about Carson Palmer? No one has been talking about this guy for MVP all year, and he proved how important he was. Was if you look at his last two seasons, there's nobody better than him. You look at his game, 18 of 27, 255 yards, two touchdowns, and one interception. He now has 34 touchdowns, the seventh most by a quarterback 36 years or older. If he has two more, he'll be tied for fourth, and one of them was Brady last year. You really have to give this guy credit, but he's done it. When coming off of an injury, and he has been big time. The Cardinals, they still have a shot for home field in the NFC because of the craziness over there with Carolina losing to Atlanta. So watch out for that. Meanwhile, Atlanta was also eliminated at the end of the night by the Vikings. They destroyed the Giants 49-17. Eli Manning with arguably the worst game of his career. It's not, but it's one of them. 234 yards, threw a touchdown, but he had three interceptions. His QBR was 0.7. The only one worse this season was by his brother. Remember that the horrible game he had with the 0.1 QBR. Bridgewater, he was nice. 15 to 25, 168 yards and a touchdown. And Mr. Adrian Peterson, he keeps doing what he's doing. Nothing new about Mr. Peterson. 22 carries, 104 yards. He still leads the league in rushing. He should have 1,500 again this year. And so the Giants, they seem to be in. Got a couple of minutes here, but sure don't. Here we're going to talk about the U for a hot second. Well, we'll be back here on Thursday, our New Year's Eve celebration. We're going to do it big. So, toodaloo. Bye-bye.